So we're in this series where we're asking, who is Jesus leading up to Easter? Leading up to Easter. And so today we're looking that Jesus is not just a teacher. He is the teacher. The teacher whose words carry divine authority and all the power to call us to a transformed life. And we're going to get into that. But here, picture the crowds on the Galilean hillside that have been following him, listening to his teachings. And they're on the hill, and they're listening to him, and he's got no credentials. He's not dressed in the fancy rabbi robes. He just looks like this guy, not the Americanized nice portrait of Jesus with the flowing hair and the blue eyes and the white skin. Most likely look like this guy, because we know the Bible says there was nothing about him to draw people to himself. Now, ladies, that portrait that normally is up there, does that draw your attention at all? I mean the one with the blue eyes, not this one. Yeah, Kevin. Yeah, he does. Kevin's handsome. You're not telling the truth. Kevin is handsome. And for those of you who are not here, last week we talked about Kevin. Kevin is the name that I call the Americanized painting or the European painting of Jesus. Lily white skin, blue eyes, nice comb flowing hair, looking great. I mean, that guy... definitely leading role guy. This guy, how about you work backstage, right? How about you move stuff? That would be good. How about lighting? Lighting would be good for you to do. You know, he's got a face for broadcasting. You think he's cute. This is why you married that guy. that was a perfect opening. Thank you for that, Chels. Thank you. Poor Seth is like, I look like that guy. So he had no credentials, no fancy robes, and yet everyone was amazed. So check out this from Matthew 7. 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed. They were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of the religious law. Quite unlike. So last week, we established that Jesus really lived, that he is a historic figure, and that there are few that believe the Jesus myth, that he was just legend. So we broke that apart last week, used other writings outside of Scripture, and we saw Jesus was a historic figure. So that was last week. In the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at Jesus as his claims of being Lord, Savior. We'll look at him as resurrected and what the Bible teaches there. But today, we're going to talk about his very, very different teaching style. His teaching style. And a unique thing about Jesus, different from the normal rabbi, is that rabbis would say, they would quote, other authorities, okay? Most teachers will, unless they're giving you direct instructions, will be quoting other authorities. As a matter of fact, we think that references are important. Sources are important, because people say things, especially on Facebook, and they drop these bombs on you and go, there you go. And you're like, source? What? Is there anything here? What's the source? So sources have always been important, but Jesus was different because he'd say, while other teachers quoted authorities, Jesus would say, but I say to you. but I say to you. And so that leads into that first point for me, is Jesus taught with complete confidence and authority. Complete confidence and authority. So when you look, and if you look at Matthew 5, 21, 22, he was talking about one of the Ten Commandments. He was talking about Old Testament law when he said, "You have heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you," what? "But I tell you," see, you've been growing up in this, you've been learning the Torah, you've been learning Hebrew law, you've been learning what God said to Moses, you've been learning those things, and those are God's words. And then there's this guy looking like that guy who's in a regular robe who's saying things like this. "But I tell you," well, who are you? "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Wow. Wow. So he would say, "But I say." So that first point, when I look and say, he taught with complete confidence and authority. We see that scribes and Pharisees and the rabbis, they would teach by quoting other rabbis or Moses, and they borrowed authority, which is certainly understandable. You would say Moses told us, the Torah tells us. And so that was important, and they should have been saying that. They should have been saying that. But Jesus quoted no one except that he just spoke for himself. Now, I don't know if you're getting how big this is. How big this is. This is a big deal. This is what he was saying that was getting people riled up. Okay, these are the things that the Jewish leaders were saying. Well, who are you to say this? This is blasphemy. Who are you? Because he'd say, "I say to you." When you think of our sources today, you can make the news with something like this. My neighbor's cousin's friend was riding on a subway, and he heard a guy who said that he read on Facebook this. And suddenly it's news. Suddenly somebody has just reported that, and you're like, what's the source? Well, my neighbor's cousin's friend's buddy was riding on a subway, and he heard a guy reading something, and he said that. What? It makes it. It makes it. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. Remember that one? That was all tracked back to a kid who came home from school saying to his parent, "Julia said that she knew somebody who said she saw people in the park doing this." And so the mother went like this, "I don't know if you heard this. This is what happened." And then that became national news. Which a kid later said, there was no evidence of that. And the person who posted it was like, even like, "I don't know how this blew up. I'm sorry. I don't know how this blew up." See, the sources today that we'll take are different. See, Jesus didn't say, "God told me to tell you." He'd say, "I say to you. I say to you." Now that is not humility. That's authority. Look at a few more unique things here on the screen about Jesus as he communicated. When we see that his words are not are not suggestions. So we know he is the source. John 14:6, he says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All right, you're at Panera Bread. You're hanging out. You're at Panera Bread. Two of you, let's say Mary and Nora, they're having lunch with Katie. Katie's talking. Katie's good at that. And she is talking, and she's going on, and she's talking, and she pauses, and she says to Mary and Nora, well, you know, guys, what I've really come to the conclusion is that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You guys are going to go, what? What did you just say, Katie? No, I've decided that I am the way, the truth, the life. You're going to go, no, you're not, Katie. You're great and everything, but you are not the way, the truth, and the life. What do you mean by that? Where are you going to get her? So it's that when Jesus said that, it's a big deal. He didn't say, here's a path. He said, I am the path. I am the path. And the crowd was astonished. They were astonished, not because he was clever, but because he would say the things that he would say, speaking as God, as God. So he would also, obviously, have to start backing up those things. And so the things that he started doing started making people go, what? The fishermen, they go out, they've been fishing all night, they haven't caught anything. They're mending their nets on the shore. He comes walking along. He says, oh, guys, bummer, you didn't catch anything, huh? They say, no, we didn't catch anything all night. There's nothing out there. He says, okay, I want you to go over there, cast your nets. And they went. But in that culture, they're like, we'll humor the guy. And so they go out and they cast their nets. And the Bible tells us that they came back with two boats full of fish. They had to call to another boat. You guys, come help us. We got too much fish. We're going to sink. And they came to shore. And they said, the account tells us, they said, who is this man who can speak? Who is this? And so he started doing things that matched his words, because without those behaviors, his words would have been wingnut, tinfoil hat time. We have plenty of people who are saying lots of words. You can go through YouTube and find them. You can find probably 32 different messiahs that claim that they're Jesus, they're back, they're here. In fact, one of the comedians has said that the problem's going to be when Jesus comes back and says, I am Jesus, that they're going to throw him in a psych ward immediately, because it's so common for people who have that mental disease to call themselves the Messiah. You see, without the action, the words fall dead. They fall dead. So the crowd was astonished. And I have to ask the question, when I read scripture, do I just go through because I'm trying to do it in a year? Do I just try to get this thing done? Am I ever pausing enough to say, I'm astonished? What? Now, I know when you read through the Old Testament, there are plenty of astonishing things there. You're like going, what? What about this? What about that? Is this real? Did that really happen like this? Is it literal? Is it this? Is it that? And you're going, you know what? I love that about Scripture. I love that there's a lot of mystery that when I read, I go, I don't understand this. Because it makes me dig. It makes me curious. I want to find out, and I want to read. Because if it was just totally solved, I'd be like, meh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But every time I read it, I'm like, oh, whoa, that's really weird. What's going on here? Why did this happen? Why did that go on? And that pulls me into history, and that pulls me into this rabbit trail, and it pulls me down here where I find, oh, kings at this time always used to cut off everybody's heads and put them on poles out by the doors. Welcome. You guys have a welcome mat. Try putting a bunch of skulls on each side. Not Halloween plastic ones. People you killed. Don't do that. So I have to ask myself, do they astonish me? Do they wake me up at all? Are there ever times where I pause on them? And then I have to ask myself, am I letting this Bible, his words, shape me? Or am I working to shape it to fit my agenda? Am I allowing the words to change me, or am I changing the words to fit what I want them to be? Lots of philosophers have said that man has a tendency of creating God in his own image. Well, Scripture says that we were created in God's image. But then we'll take parts of ourself, the things we like most, and we attribute them to God. Say, this is God. So that brings me to the second point. Jesus taught for heart transformation. Jesus taught for heart transformation. It's like he came to install a new operating system. Everybody got your phones? You got your phones, right? Everybody, we could go through and count how many phones we have. What I want to find out, how many of you have never updated it. The software thing comes on and says, it's time to... I update Robin's regularly, and now she does it on her own. Now, I gotta tell you about my friend Jen. Jen came over with her phone because she's my neighbor. And she said, help, I can't get this to work. I don't know what's going on. And I said, okay, when's the last time you updated the operating system? And she said, I don't do that. I said, how old is your phone? It's about 5, 6 years. 5 or 6 years she hasn't updated her operating system. And so I know it's scary, like this past week, my computer gave me the blue screen of death. Oh, your BIOS, blah, 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 CMOS, blah, 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 blah. I was like, I don't know what that means, but it's not good. Don't know. So then you do the thing where you hold down on the power button for 5 seconds. Be like, and then it finally shuts off, and then you go, come on. And it came back on and it looked all normal. I was like, whoa! I took a picture, a screenshot of my blue screen of death, and immediately sent it to my family chat. Much like, you know, reporting I broke my ankle and I'm on my way to the hospital. Because this is such a big deal. The new operating system, they're serious business. And Jesus came to install a new operating system. David's going to come, if you want to look into Scripture here, Matthew 5, 1 through 10. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours as a gift. Matthew 5, 1 through 10 describes the new operating system that Jesus was putting in place.
Okay, Matthew 5. And I'm going to use blessed instead of blessed, just in case that
okayed
rubs anyone wrong. Okay. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
So the new operating system, a new operating system. He saw it all as David was reading through that. We could go through it again, but we don't need to. It's an entirely new operating system that is very different than the world's operating system. The world's operating system, tell me the characteristics of the world's operating system. Give me some characteristics. You gave me a bunch. Power, rich, fear, selfish, angry, hatred, dog eat dog, get to where you're going, step on whoever you need to because you got to get to where you're going, ruthless. Get it done no matter what you have to do, get it done. How about this one? Your happiness is the primary goal of life. All of life is about happy, happy, joy, joy. Should always be happy. If you're anxious, you should never be anxious. Robin deals with this all the time with her teenagers. So many teenagers have anxiety, but a lot of their anxiety is about things they should be nervous about. I've got a big test and I'm really nervous about it. My anxiety is off the charts. Well, yeah, it's a big deal. You should be anxious about that. You shouldn't be like, "Yeah, got a big test." I don't know. That's my bad. You shouldn't just, there are things that really should make us anxious. But the world says, no, always be happy, never be anxious. And I know Scripture says, be anxious about nothing, cast it on me. But that's admitting there's anxiety, because it wouldn't need that verse if we didn't have any anxiety, right? So the operating system of Jesus is opposite. It's totally opposite. So you look at that word, blessed, blessed. And you've heard definitions of it. And it's difficult for us to express in English what the Greek word means. It's difficult because it's like an all-encompassing word that contains happy. It's like happy, but you read it and you go, happy are those who mourn. I wasn't happy when I was mourning. That seems like an oxymoron. But it's several words that all just kind of come together as one. It kind of means not just happy, but it's like being deeply favored by God, flourishing, or living the life as God intended. Like God characteristics, kingdom characteristics. So God flourishing. And so when we look at that new operating system, we see that the Sermon on the Mount isn't a checklist. It's a portrait of a transformed heart. It's Jesus upgrades the operating system, not just the apps. And he puts in this new operating system that's blessed, flourishing. And those parts of it, if we look at the new words of the words of what it really means. We begin to see flourishing are the spiritually needy, the brokenhearted, the humble. When we start to see, if you were to put it, I was like, how do I kind of put it in some contemporary words? How do I put these together so that we're understanding? I like, blessed are those who mourn, the second one. Blessed are those who grieve what's broken in the world, because they will be comforted. It's not just talking about blessed are those who mourn when somebody dies, okay? It's bigger than that. When we look at blessed are those with sincere hearts, the righteousness, they'll see God. They start to recognize how God works in their lives. Those who suffer for doing what's right. See, you begin to understand that Jesus is flipping the world system on its head and saying, this is my system. So it's not that checklist. It's not that at all. It's Jesus upgrading the entire operating system. How many of you guys still using this? Windows 1, anybody? Anybody? How many of you remember it? Yeah, I remember it, and I thought it was awesome. Do you remember? Do you remember going back? Remember the modems where you took your phone off the wall and you put them on the little stand that went, and you put it, and you were like, whoa, 1,200 baud. You were like, now we're all like, oh, I need my fiber optic is under 1 gig and it's really bugging me. You know, I'm not getting the speeds I want. We needed new operating systems. So we kept going at it and they kept coming out. So a couple of sword drills here. Yeah, I guess we won't do sword drills. It's 10 of. And you know, if I took Tom and Josh out of it, you know, there was a little tension last time of... No, it wasn't tension. It was fun. Matthew 5, if you look at that, 43, 44. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Wow, that's different than the world system. Ezekiel even says, I will give you a new heart and put a right spirit in you. Romans 12, 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. New operating system. So the point is that Jesus wasn't just delivering a new rule book. He was giving us an entirely different system. I've copied my notes twice. Why did he do it? He taught us to lead us to himself. His motivation was love for you. His motivation when he teaches is love for us. Everything God does and says is to protect us and provide for us. He doesn't just give you principles and then walk away. See, we can admire the Sermon on the Mount our whole life. We can admire it. We can study his teachings. We can recite them. Seminaries are full of people studying theology, the study of God. Orthopraxy, or the praxis, the practice of following what you read is entirely different. So when we see all of these things that Jesus said, we begin to see he said things with authority. He wasn't your normal, everyday teacher. A lot of people are like, I'm okay with Jesus. I think he was a very wise teacher. Does a wise teacher pretend to be God? Does a wise teacher say to his followers, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to heaven but by me. Does a wise teacher make those claims? We're going to be talking about that in the coming weeks. So look, if we look at this picture, we could study it, and it's a gorgeous picture. And it's I meant to have the other thing pop up on it eventually, but it popped up immediately. But you might be able to recognize where this picture is, even by the outline. Any of you take a guess? What? Acadia. Yeah, it's Acadia. You could study it. You could know it. You could know the ins and outs of Acadia. You could even teach a class about it. You could talk about where to stay. You could talk about the best times of day to do that and go there. And you could memorize all the colors and the cool things about this gorgeous picture. We could do the same thing with Jesus. We could just become very good at knowing about Jesus, but never knowing him. And that's why I say that Jesus' teachings, that teaching isn't art to admire. It isn't wise teachings to just kind of admire. It's a path to walk. I'll tell you, when you look at the pictures of Acadia, you say, these are gorgeous. But when you go, you're overwhelmed. You're like, wow, this is simply breathtaking. So as our music team comes back up, they're going to be singing an oldie but a goodie. An oldie but a goodie. Just Katie and Todd. It's called Change My Heart, O God. And that's what we've been talking about. That teach me, I will listen. No one spoke like him. Transform me. Install the new operating system in me so that I walk your path. And lastly, lead me. And I will follow. I'm not just going to admire the trail. I'm going to walk it. So change my heart, O God. The reality is that Jesus is still teaching. He's still teaching. We still have his words. We still have his teachings. And so we need to ask ourselves, since we know Jesus is real and he really walked the earth, he made a lot of claims. Is it our goal to know about Jesus so we can answer Jeopardy questions? Or is it to know Jesus? Lord God, I thank you. I thank you that we have the freedom to gather each week. I thank you that we can look to your word and that you are not ever afraid of questions, doubts. Lord, that we can bring them. We've even seen places in scripture where your followers argue with you. And Lord, I get that. So Lord, I pray that we come to know you more and more, not just know about you. That we walk the trail. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys.